When you hear a show tune from the Great White Way, does a shiver run through ya? Well, we're giving them to ya. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street.
I was given my first command. I led my men into a massacre, witnessed their deaths firsthand. Oh, I made every mistake. I felt the shame rise in me. And even now I lie awake, knowing history, history, history have its eyes on me. History, history, history. History has his eyes on me. History, history, history. Let me tell you what I wish I'd known when I was young and dreamed of glory. Don't nobody have control. Who lives, who dies, who tells your story? I know that we can win. I know that greatness lies in you. But remember from here on in, the history, history, history have its eyes on you. History, history, history. Oh,
history has its eyes and ears on you, dear listener, today on Broadway to Main Street. Hello, this is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street, here on 88.3 FM, Peconic Public Broadcasting, emanating out of the, what would I say today, bicentennial hamlet of Southampton, New York. Why do I say bicentennial? Well, today is our 200th original episode of Broadway to Main Street, something I'm very proud of over the course of 5 years. And what you heard leading us in is so new that, I don't know, the digital download is actually warm to the touch. That's John Legend, great popular singer, major figure in the recording industry, recording, kind of amazingly, a Broadway song. Of course, that's from Hamilton. That's from the Hamilton mixtape, which came out the first week of December. And of course, Hamilton, score by Lin-Manuel Miranda, is historical in and of itself. It's one of the most important musicals of the last 100 years. But the idea that they would get 20-some-odd R&B, hip-hop, pop performers to record a Broadway show is something, frankly, that hasn't happened in about 30 years. So today's episode, our 200th episode, is going to be Groundbreakers and Game Changers. So I thought a great way to celebrate would be for me to pick, you know, a dozen songs or so that I think really made a huge difference on Broadway and on how Americans heard the music of Broadway, which, you know, is the mission of Broadway to Main Street, our radio show. Well, if you're looking at narrative musicals, certainly in the 20th century, the one that everyone talks about as well, they should, is Showboat from 1927. And that was a show Oscar Hammerstein, Jerome Kern, of course, adapted from Edna Ferber's novel, Showboat, that told a story pretty ruthlessly. I mean, it's a big, expansive, epic story of this showboat going down the Mississippi over several generations. And there's a lot of issues going on in the show, not the least of which is the fact that Julie Laverne, a singer on the showboat, turns out, although we don't know it yet, to have some African-American blood in her, which means she can't be married to a white man. And, of course, this is the South in Mississippi, so things get very, very complicated. But the way we know in the show is she sings this amazing song we're going to hear, in which she talks about her man, and Queenie, who's a black cook, comes by and says, "Huh, how do you know that song? That's kind of funny. I've never heard anything but colored folks sing that song." And Julie says, "What's so funny about that?" But the audience then knows that something's up. So it's a real game changer, I think, in the way songs reveal story in the American musical. So without further ado, here is Helen Morgan, the original Julie Laverne, in Showboat from 1927, singing a song that was a game changer.
Man of mine.
Helen Morgan from the original recording. And there wasn't a cast album back then, but that was a concurrent recording of a great song from Showboat. Well, one of the things, obviously, we do here at Broadway to Main Street is play recordings, and recordings themselves have history as well, and are very much a part of the warp and woof of how we hear Broadway music, because, I don't know, what, 1,200 people a night can see a Broadway show, but 100,000 people can listen to its music at any one moment. The first cast album, rumor sort of has it, is Oklahoma by Rodgers and Hammerstein in 1943, but actually that's not the case. The first show that had the majority of its score recorded was The Cradle Will Rock. It opened in 1937. They recorded, back then they were obviously 78s, so they recorded seven of them, so 14 songs, almost an hour's worth of recording with Mark Blitstein, the composer and lyricist, and sort of narrating the score. So The Cradle Will Rock was in itself a groundbreaker and a game changer because it was the most political show of the 1930s. And as you may know, the federal government tried to shut it down. But thankfully, it was recorded for posterity. So here is Mark Blitstein himself to lead us into the opening number of The Cradle Will Rock, and Olive Stanton singing the opening number from this seminal show in the American musical theater.
Scene one is a street corner. It is the night of a big union drive. The mall stands at the lamppost. There is a phone attached to it.
I'm checking home now. Call it a night. Going up to my turn off the light, Jesus, turn off that light. I ain't in Fieldtown long, I work 2 days a week, the other five my effort days require for 2 days out of
That was Olive Stanton from the original 1937 production of The Cradle Will Rock. And you may remember, if you're historically inclined, that that was the opening night where the cast, who was enjoined from performing on stage by the federal government, started to perform the show from the audience. Wow, what an event. Well, this is the kind of seminal, groundbreaking, and game-changing events we are celebrating today on our 200th episode of Broadway to Main Street. I couldn't be more thrilled. So let us go a little further into 1940. It was Christmas Day, 1940, when Rodgers and Hart opened Pal Joey. And this was certainly a game changer in terms of its subject matter, because it was the first musical, as Rodgers, I love, said, to deal with the facts of life. Kind of nightclub gigolo named Joey Evans, who puts the move on an older married woman, although he does put the moves on a lot of women during the course of the show, and they wind up shacking up together, there's no other way of saying it, in a private apartment off of North Shore Drive in Chicago. And this is the song they sing about. It's quite remarkable. It's from a late 1951 recording, a studio cast recording, because they never recorded Pal Joey when it was on Broadway. Can you believe that? There was a musician strike back then. So here are Vivian Siegel, who was in the original, and Harold Lang, who's on the Columbia Studio album, singing about their Den of Iniquity, a real game changer, if ever there was one.
Two little lovebirds all alone in a little cozy nest with a little secret telephone. That's the place to rest.
Artificial roses round the door, they are never out of bloom.
And a flowered carpet all
of iniquity, our arrangement is good.
It's much more healthy living here. This rushing back home is bad, my dear.
I haven't caught a cold all year.
Knock on wood.
It was ever thus. Since antiquity, all the poets agree.
The chambermaid is very kind. She always thinks we're so refined.
Of course she's deaf and dumb and blind.
No fools we in our little den of iniquity. In our little den of iniquity. For a girly and boy,
we'll sit and let the hours pass. A canopy bed has so much class,
and so's a ceiling made of glass.
Oh, what joy! Love has been that way since antiquity, down to you and to me.
The radio I used to hate, now when it is dark and late, Tchaikovsky's 1812 sounds great.
That's for me in our little den of iniquity. Down to you and to me.
We're very proper folks, you know.
We've separate bedrooms, comme il faut. There's one for play and one for show.
You chase me in our little den of iniquity.
One of my favorite songs ever. This is Larry Maslon. Welcome to our little den of musical iniquity here on Broadway to Main Street. We're celebrating groundbreakers and game changers today. We have some great stuff from the 40s, Rodgers and Hammerstein, which we'll get to at the end of the program. But let us go to 1956. And the musical had sort of puttered along very nicely, and most stories were romantic stories and had some comic subplot, and they were extremely successful in the 40s and 50s. And then this idea of a literate musical based on a George Bernard Shaw play about social commentary and class difference in England in 1912 was adapted by Alan J. Lerner and Frederick Lowe and Moss Hart. And it opened the doors, really. It said that almost anything could be adapted into a musical if you did it sensitively and intelligently. And most climactic or emotionally riven numbers in musicals tended to be big romantic ones. But this was the thriller of the night. It had nothing to do with I Love You. It had nothing to do with Boys and Girls. It had everything to do with the celebration of a Cockney gutter snipe named Eliza Doolittle, who transforms into a robust speaker of the English language. And of course, we're talking about Julie Andrews, Rex Harrison, and Robert Coote. Here is the moment from My Fair Lady that I gather stopped the musical theater dead in its tracks in 1956 from the original cast album on Columbia.
Quit, Professor Iggins. Quit, Professor Iggins. Hear our plea or payday, we will quit, Professor Iggins. A, not I. Oh, not how, pounding, pounding in our brain. A, not I, oh, not how, don't say right, say rain.
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
Again.
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
I think she's got it. I think she's got it.
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
By George, she's got it. By George, she's got it. Now once again, where does it rain?
On the plain, on the plain.
And where's that soggy plain?
In Spain, in Spain.
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
In Hartford, Hereford and Hampshire,
hurricanes hardly happen. How kind of you to let me come.
Now once again, where does it rain?
On the plain, on the plain.
And where's that blasted plain?
In Spain, in Spain.
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
Indeed, and the crowd went wild. My Fair Lady, of course. This is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street, and this is our 200th original episode. I am so thrilled to have been here for 5 years, almost six, giving you the music that I love. And I have to thank the people who make all this possible, starting, of course, with the general manager of WPPB, Wally Smith, who, with Bonnie Grice, first gave me the okay to do this show. Our incredibly adept and ever helpful engineer out here in Southampton, Kyle Lynch, and his counterpart in New York City, Sal Lerner, who've made these shows so excellent to listen to. Well, when it comes to listening, of course, Broadway music just didn't exist on Broadway. It existed everywhere once upon a time, on the Ed Sullivan Show, on transistor radios, on your LP, you name it. And one of the songs that really blasted through, one of the last gasps of Broadway show tunes that made it into the world, the greater world, the zeitgeist of America, was rather extraordinary. It was Louis Armstrong's song. He recorded it kind of at the last minute. He kind of forgot about it in 1964, and then he went on tour, and people kept screaming, "Let's hear that song, let's hear that song you recorded." He didn't know what they were talking about. He had the sheet music sent to him, and became not only identified with him forever, but the song we're about to hear was the first song to break through the Beatles' domination of the pop charts in 1964. So they had had the top five songs at one point early in 1964, and this is the show that broke the Beatles. This is a song, I should say, that broke the Beatles' domination of the pop charts. We're so thrilled, and what a great performance. Of course, it's Hello, Dolly with Louis Armstrong.
Hello, Dolly, this is Louis. Dolly, it's so nice to have you back where you belong. You lookin' swell, Dolly, I can't tell, Dolly. You still growing, you still growing, you still going strong. I feel the room swaying while the band's playing one of our old favorite songs from way back when. So take a rap, fellas, find an empty lap, fellas. Dolly, never go away again. Thank you. broom swayed by the band's playing one of our old favorite songs from way back when. So, golly gee, fellas, have a little faith in me, fellas. Golly, never go away, promise. Never go away, darling. Never go away again.
Dear God, you made many, many poor people. I realize, of course, that it's no shame to be poor. But it's no great honor either. So what would have been so terrible if I had a small fortune? If I were a rich man, all day long I'd biddy biddy bum. If I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work hard. If I were a biddy biddy rich, idle diddle 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 man, I'd build a big tall house with rooms by the dozen right in the middle of the town. A fine tin roof with a real wooden floors below. There could be one long staircase just going up and one even longer coming down. And one more leading nowhere just for show. I'd fill my yard with chicks and turkeys and geese and ducks for the town to see and hear, squawking just as noisily as they can. And each loud will land like a trumpet on the ear, as if to say here lives a wealthy man. Oh, if I were a rich man, all day long I'd biddy biddy bum. If I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work hard. If I were a biddy biddy rich, idle diddle 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 man, I see my wife, my Goldie, looking like a rich man's wife with a proper double chin, supervising meals to our heart's delight. I see her putting on airs and strutting like a peacock. Oh, what a happy mood she's in, screaming at the servants day and night. The most important men in town will come to fawn on me. They will ask me to advise them like a Solomon the wise. If you please, Reptavia, pardon me, Reptavia, posing problems that would cross a rabbi's eyes. Won't make one bit of difference if I answer right or wrong. When you're rich, they think you really know. If I were rich, I'd have the time that I lack to sit in a synagogue and pray, and maybe have a seat by the Eastern Wall. And I discuss the holy books with the learned men 7 hours every day. That would be the sweetest thing of all. Oh, if I were a rich man, all day long I'd biddy biddy bum. If I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work hard. Lord, who made the lion and the lamb. You decreed I should be what I am. Would it spoil some vast eternal plan if I were a wealthy man?
Of course, Zero Mostel from Fiddler on the Roof. This is our 200th episode, folks, so we're celebrating Game Changers, and that was a big one. You wouldn't necessarily think of that now. It's such a great classic of, 50 years plus of the American musical theater. But the idea of a show that was about Jewish culture, that celebrated Jewish culture in a shtetl in 1905, was kind of revolutionary. No one expected it to run more than a couple months on Broadway, but Fiddler on the Roof became one of the great American classics. Obviously, astonishing score by Jerry Bock and Sheldon Harnick, with a great performance by Zero Mostel. Well, today we're looking at songs that made a huge difference, whether you're aware of it or not at the time. And Golden Boy, a musical that also came out that season with an unbelievable performance by Sammy Davis Jr., who you all know is one of my absolute heroes, was also a game changer. It was the only musical really in the 1960s until Hair came along to deal with the civil rights movement. What could be more important than the civil rights movement in America? Well, nothing Broadway really touched upon back then, except for this really daring show. And at one point in the second act, Sammy Davis Jr. plays a black boxer through the whole show, but at one point he has this romantic moment with this white woman who's the girlfriend of his trainer, played by Paula Wayne. And I have written a documentary for American Masters called Sammy Davis Jr., I Gotta Be Me, which will hopefully come out in 2017. It's in rough cut. It's fantastic. I think everyone will love it. I'm very proud of it. But here is the song, the first time ever that a black man kissed a white woman on stage in a Broadway musical. And it was important and shocking and heartfelt. And I think you'll hear that. This is a cut from the Capitol Cast album, and Sammy was so fried vocally that he can barely croak it out. He went back and re-recorded some tracks, I don't know, 6 months later. But here's the original. It's got such guts to it. I hope you enjoy Strauss and Adams, I Want to Be With You, from Golden Boy.
Lorna, Lorna and Joe, somehow it sounds so right. Somehow you feel what I feel too. I wanna be with you. I wanna be with you. I wanna be with you. After all the nights of wanting you, lying there loving you, hating you, tonight I'm touching you, tasting you, world you're gonna see. We'll make out somehow. Here's my girl and me. They can't hurt us now. We're gonna have it. Here's our chance, it's not too late for us. Grab it fast or life won't wait for us. I wanna be with you. I wanna be with you.
You make me wanna say It's a sweet and golden day for us. Now the music starts to play for us. I wanna be with you.
Kiss, and the Detroit out-of-town audience went berserk from Golden Boy. This is Larry Maslon talking on our 200th episode of Game Changers and Groundbreakers. Stephen Sondheim could get 3 hours at least of stuff he did in his shows that changed the game. I would say every one of his shows did something different. Here is from 1970s, from Company from 1970, to me, a musical that ushered in a whole new era of what musicals could be about. And maybe Sondheim's greatest gift among many, 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 many of them is his ability to treat ambivalence as a viable musical theatrical idea. Most musicals prior to Company in 1970 kind of said what they meant, and they meant what they said. But here is a number that always makes me weep, really, about what it's like to live with someone. Sorry, Grateful, from the original cast of Company.
Harry, you ever sorry you got married?
You're always sorry. You're always grateful. You're always wondering what might have been. Then she walks in, and still you're sorry, and still you're grateful, and still you wonder, and still you doubt, and she goes out. Everything's different. Nothing's changed, only maybe slightly rearranged. You're sorry, grateful, regretful, happy. Why look for answers when none occur? You always are what you always were, which has nothing to do with, all to do with her.
You're always sorry, you're always grateful. You hold her thinking, I'm not alone. You're still alone. You don't live for her, you do live with her. You're scared she's starting to drift away, and scared she'll stay.
Good things get better, bad get worse. Wait, I think I meant that in reverse. You're sorry, grateful, regretful, happy. Why look for answers when none occur? You'll always be what you always were, which has nothing to do with, all to do with her. You'll always be what you always were, which has nothing to do with, all to do with her. Nothing to do with, all to do with her.
Thank you. Well, those married men in Stephen Sondheim's company may be ambivalent. I'm sure not. I'm extremely grateful for this show, Broadway to Main Street, which we've been doing now. This is our 200th episode. We've been doing it for 5 years. And among the folks who have been my guests on the show over those 5 years are Ted Chapin, V.N. Cox, David Garrison, Maren Mazie and Jason Danieli, Steve Ross, Melissa Errico, Ann Harada, Malcolm Getz, Steve Ross, and Sheldon Harnick, who we adore, who lives out here in the Hamptons, who are always playing, and our jazz and pop correspondent, Will Friedwald, who often comes to join us. And for our holiday show this year, Louis J. Stadlin, one of my favorite performers of all time, is going to give us our Curmudgeon's Christmas on Christmas Day here on Broadway to Main Street. Well, I said earlier, African-American performers and topics and Jewish performers and topics took a long time to come to Broadway. Strangely enough, the last sort of big group to be represented would be the gay populace and gay personalities on Broadway, which is astonishing when you figure how much of Broadway was represented by amazing gay performers and certainly writers, Lorenz Hart, Cole Porter, Noel Coward. And it wasn't until 1983, La Cage aux Folles, where a healthy, romantic, robust homosexual relationship could be placed on stage, center stage. And we have Jerry Herman and Arthur Lawrence and Harvey Fierstein to thank for all that. So here from La Cage aux Folles is George Hearn giving a declaration that was indeed a game changer.
What I am. I am my own special creation. So come take a look. Give me the hook. Or the ovation, it's my world that I want to have a little pride in, my world, and it's not a place I have to hide in. Life's not worth the damn till you can say, hey world, I am what I am. I am what I am. I don't want praise. I don't want pity. I bang my own drum. Some think it's noise. I think it's pretty. Different angle. Your life is a sham till you can shout out loud, I am what I am. I am what I am, and what I am needs no excuses. I deal my own deck. Sometimes the sometimes the deuces. There's one life, and there's no return and no deposit. One life, so it's time to open up your closet. Life's not worth a damn till you can say, hey world, I am.
A groundbreaking statement by Tony winner George Hearn from La Cage aux Folles. Well, there's so many songs I wanted to get to today on our 200th broadcast about game changers and groundbreakers. I desperately wanted to get in Audra McDonald singing When I Marry Mr. Snow from Carousel. We'll have to postpone that some other time, as the saying goes. But we'll finish with Carousel. And you have to give some time to Rodgers and Hammerstein, the ultimate game changers in the American musical. This is the greatest extended scene ever written for the American musical. No other way to say it. John Raitt and Jan Clayton from the original production of Carousel. And you often don't get to hear the whole thing. You only get to hear it sort of cut up. But here is all about 11 minutes. Listen through it. It'll tell you everything you need to know about why the American musical theater is great. I couldn't think of a better way to end our 200th episode. Thank you to everyone out there who's listening, and keep tuning in to Broadway to Main Street. Here's Carousel.
Say, tell me something. Ain't you scared of me? I mean, that's what that cop said about my taking money from girls.
I ain't scared.
That's your name? Julie? Julie something?
Julie Jordan.
You're a queer one, Julie Jordan. Ain't you sorry that you didn't run away? You can still go if you wanna.
I reckon that I cared a chance to stay. You couldn't take my money if I didn't have any, and I don't have a penny, that's true. And if I did have money, you couldn't take any, 'cause you'd ask and I'd give it to you.
You're a queer one, Jordan. Ain't you ever had a feller you give money to?
No.
Ain't you ever had a feller at all?
No.
Well, you must have had a feller you went walking with.
Yeah.
Where'd you walk?
Nowhere special, I recall.
In the woods?
No.
On the beach?
No.
Did you love him?
No, I never loved no one. I told you that.
But you're a funny kid. Do you want to go into town and dance, maybe? Or...
No, I have to be careful.
Of what?
Of my character. You see, I'm never going to marry. I'm never going to marry. If I was going to marry, I wouldn't have to be such a stickler. But I'm never going to marry, and a girl who don't marry has got be much more particular.
Suppose I was to say to you that I'd marry
you.
Oh, that scares you, don't it? You're thinking about what that cop said.
No, I ain't. I never paid no mind to what he said.
But you wouldn't marry anyone like me, would you?
Oh, yes, I would. If I loved you, it wouldn't make no difference what you did. Not even if I died for it.
How do you know what you'd do if you loved me, or how you'd feel, or anything?
I don't know how I know. Just the same, I know how it'd be if I loved you. When I worked in the mill, weaving that balloon, I'd gaze absent-minded at the room. And half the time the shuttle would tangle in the thread, and the warp would get mixed with the wound. If I loved you.
But you don't.
No, I don't. But somehow I can see just exactly how I'd be. Time and again, I would try to say, oh, I'd want you to know.
where you don't love. That's what you said, wasn't it?
Yes. I can smell them, can you? The blossom. The wind brings them down.
Ain't much wind tonight. Hardly any.
Can't hear a sound, not the turn of a leaf, nor the fall of a wave hitting the sand. The tide's creeping up on the beach like a thief, afraid to be caught stealing the land. On a night like this, I start to wonder what life is all about.
And I always say two heads are better than one to figure it out.
I don't need you or anyone to help. I got it figured out for myself. We ain't important. What are we? A couple of specks of nothing. Look up there.
There's a hell of a lot of stars in the sky, and the sky's so big the sea looks small, and two little people, you and I, we don't count at all.
You're a funny kid. Don't ever remember meeting another girl like you. You trying to get me to marry you?
No.
Well, then what's put it into my head?
You're different, all right.
Can't think what it is. You look up at me with that little kid face like you trusted me.
I wonder what it'd be like.
What?
Nothing. I know what it'd be like. It'd be awful. I can just see myself.
Kind of scrawny and pale, kicking at my food, and lovesick like any other guy. I'd throw away my sweater and dress up like a dude in a dickie and a collar and a tie. If I loved you.
But you don't.
No, I don't.
But somehow I can see just exactly how I feel. If I loved you time and again, I would try to say all I'd want you to know. If I loved you, words wouldn't come in an easy way, round in circles I'd go, longing to tell you, but afraid and shy, I'd let my golden chances pass me by. Soon you'd leave me, or you would go in the mist of day.
To marry anybody. Even if a girl was foolish enough to want me, I wouldn't.
Don't worry, worry about it, Billy.
Who's worried?
Right about there being no wind. Blossoms are just coming down by themselves. Just their time to correct.
The time all gone to. This is Larry Maslon here at Broadway to Main Street. Let's catch up next Sunday at 3.
There's so much more embracing still to be done, but time is racing. Oh, well, we'll catch up some other time.